Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Have Rick and Tony here. Let's get into today's nonsense. We are going to jump right into the US government has moved almost $2 billion worth of Bitcoin over to Coinbase. And the question is, are they selling it all before Trump takes office? All righty, Rick, let's start with you. What do you think's happening? What do you think the implications are? Any comments?
Straight up, I don't know, you know, and I don't think anybody knows, right, if they're actually going to sell Bitcoin. But, you know, if you spend any time on Bitcoin Twitter, you know, the smallest little rumor, right? And okay, I mean, there's some evidence there, right? Like some Bitcoin's moved and people track these things and they know all the wallet addresses for Coinbase and that sort of thing. So yeah, I don't doubt that the Bitcoin's moved to Coinbase. Whether or not that means they're going to sell it or not, I really don't know. There was one guy, I can't remember who it was, but someone was pointing out that actually the coins went to addresses that they think are associated with Coinbase's OTC desk, which might add a bit more weight to the idea that maybe they're selling it. But again, who knows? Who knows what the US government are doing? I guarantee you the US government doesn't know what they're doing. So I definitely don't know what they're doing. But look, you know, they have previous, right? They have previous. So I made a few notes on like when else they've sold Bitcoin before, right? So interestingly, the Bitcoin that was moved this time around was 20,000 Bitcoin. That's worth about $2 billion roughly, right? One interesting thing to point out, by the way, is all of these coins, I think, were seized in the Silk Road situation, right? So one question might be like, do those coins belong to Ross? And if they do, and Trump pardons him, are they going to give him any back? Well, I guess not if they've sold them. That's a whole nother story. But yeah, in 2015, the US government sold 50,000 Bitcoin, right? Back then for 13.5 million. These were Silk Road coins as well. That Bitcoin today that they sold for 13.5 million is today worth 4.7 billion, right? So terrible, terrible trade on behalf of the US government there. And then in 2023, last year, they sold 9,860 Bitcoin, which they sold for 215 million, which today is worth just shy of 1 billion. So I guess, look, they've got previous history of selling Bitcoin. Every time they've done it, it's looked really, really stupid in hindsight. I mean, they sold 13.5 million worth of Bitcoin, which is now worth almost 5 billion. That's a bad trade, right? So are they stupid enough to sell this Bitcoin? Well, I guess they've done it twice before. Why wouldn't they? But overall, like I hope they do. I really, really hope they do it for a few reasons. Number one, wouldn't we all rather see that Bitcoin in the hands of private citizens rather than governments? Isn't the whole point of what we're doing here trying to not completely defund the state, but certainly, keep the wealth in the hands of private citizens? The state gets smaller instead of running our lives. You know, they become public servants again. So, hey, redistributing that Bitcoin, it's all good. It's not bad news for Bitcoin. It would just be bad news for the US government. So let's pray they're all that stupid. I'm certainly hopeful.
Yeah, I think it seems like Bitcoiners are sort of torn on this topic of what they want the U.S. like U.S. Bitcoiners are torn on what they want the government to do with Bitcoin, because on one hand, if the U.S. adopts a strategic Bitcoin reserve, if they don't sell the Bitcoin that they have, they continue to stockpile and the game theory kicks off, everyone's bags get pumped. Right. And there's obviously an appeal, to that scenario. On the other hand, I think people understand and maybe sometimes lose sight of the less government that any Bitcoin, or I'm sorry, the less Bitcoin that any government has, the better it is for its inability to wage war, the better it is for private citizens to hold control of their wealth and to make decisions on their own. So it's, you know, I don't really have a hope for this. My hope is, I hope they sell, because then we're going to get a dip and I can get more. And then I also kind of hope they keep it, because then what I have is going to become a lot more valuable. But maybe my takeaway, like as an American, is there you know, there's a pretty clear mandate that they want Trump, that we want Trump, you know, overall. I mean, he won every swing state. He won the popular vote. Kamala didn't flip a single county in the United States. And I think that's like the first time since, I don't know, like 50 or 100 years or something. And it seems like on his way out, Biden seems to be doing everything he can to undermine that mandate. Like his Secretary of State's been talking about, we're going to send as much to Ukraine as we possibly can between now and January 20th. And it's like, that's literally what the American people just said they didn't want. You know, like that's one of Trump's big talking points is ending wars. And they're basically just saying, well, we're going to continue the status quo as long as we can. And they have the authority to do that, I suppose. But it's sad that that's sort of the state of affairs. It's just like, you know, kicking people because you can. So, Tony, what do you think of the U.S.? Man, you think they're going to sell?
Man, it's the holiday season. Of course they're going to sell. I mean, of course they're going to sell. Everybody seems to forget that the mission here hasn't changed. You know, separation of money and state is still in full play here. Those that support, you know, the government backing up Bitcoin and all that, those guys are thinking in number go up. You know, they're thinking, okay, they're going to pump my bags. Pump your bags with what? With that garbage toilet paper? Is that what you're excited over? Is that what's turning you on and keeping you giddy all night? I mean, like, because if that's what it is, you're missing the whole point of this. I hope they sell. I mean, I wouldn't, obviously nobody knows, but I wouldn't put it past these miserable pricks to do it just to spite Trump, you know, like just because they know what he plans on doing. And they're like, okay, you know, like a sour little loser, you know, might as well take down the whole house because I'm on my way out anyhow. So might as well just burn it all down before I leave. I mean, that seems to be like the mindset. And if that's the case, well, then I'm hoping, you know, the people, those for who Bitcoin was really created, or at least some of them, because I'm not hopeful the majority will have a clue as to what's going on. Well, at least, you know, jump on this opportunity and at least, you know, swap or upgrade that worthless toilet paper into something that has value later on. That's what I'm hoping. And on the other side, I mean, come on, man. It's not only is it the holiday season, but why would the U.S. government want to leave Germany all alone in the corner, you know, wearing the dunce hat? Come on, man. I mean, isn't America the friendly nation? You know, you want to stand by your friends, so they'll stand by Germany. You know, they'll both win the dunce award of the decade. What do you want me to tell you, man? It's a clown show from beginning to end.
They're probably going to just sell right into Nancy Pelosi's buy orders, right? They'll be like, right, Nancy, get those bids in, about 30K, and then we'll dump it, and then we'll send the rest to Zelensky's wallet, and then we're done.
Yeah, he needs a few more missiles, man. You know, come on, it's not enough.
Oh, man. All right, well, let's just continue this theme of government corruption. So we all saw Joe Biden pardoned his son Hunter on felony charges, and... Rick, you sent this to me. This is amazing. So let's watch this video real quick. All righty. So Tony, I want to hear your opinion on something. What do you not what do you think about the president's optionality to pardon someone, but this specific situation, pardoning his son, is it, would you do it? Is it something that you, you sort of appreciate where he's coming from in this situation, but obviously it's a messy situation. What do you think of this?
No, I don't appreciate where he's coming from. If my son was doing this, I'd throw him in jail. You know, I'd be the first one to lock him up and like put him away. Cast him away from the rest of the world. One is like an epic embarrassment, you know, to me and the family, a complete disrespect to everything I represent. So for sure, I wouldn't stand for it. And this just like portrays, you know, clown world on steroids. I mean, I've said this in the past that there is no judicial system. It's like a judicial system. Like there's laws for some people and laws for the other people. So if you're not part of the club, the cool club that has the cool laws, well, then you're the, you know, the peasant that has to, you know, follow the shit laws the ones that are unfairly written, that are always put you at a disadvantage. And this is a clear indication of it. And the U.S. isn't the only country that does this. We highlight these patterns in Lebanon. Like, I think we wrote the book on this bullshit over there, because otherwise, why would you have 30, 40 years of, you know, this epic levels of corruption in this country to this day, even with despite everybody being on the brink of starvation, they still have all these bullshit rules in place. Well, because, you know, that's just how it is. And then there's only one way to get rid of it. You know, well, actually two ways to get rid of it. One of them is not available to most, and that's just to go to war, full out war, and, like, you know, nuke everybody that you don't agree with. And the other one is to defund them. Defunding them is a much slower and, like, agonizing, you know, road, because, you know, you have to make sure that everybody's on board and everybody agrees with you and everybody sees what you're seeing and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, and obviously the global population, as it's, you know, clearly shown, is unaware of 80% of the things that they should be aware of. So that prolongs, you know, the lifespan of this nonsense that much longer. So what do I think about this? I'm not surprised at all. It's disgusting. It absolutely disgusts me that this is even allowed to be, like, broadcast like this on social media. This guy should have been locked up or worse long time ago. Why is he still around? You know, and why is no one revolting against this? You know, like, I mean, this is the bigger question, is where the answers to these questions.
Yeah. The funny thing to me is people are like, Joe, he lied. He said he wasn't going to do this. And I'm like, is this the first time you've ever experienced a politician lying? Like, why would you be surprised by the fact that this happened a couple months before, you know, Trump takes office? So, Rick, what do you think?
Well, what else can you say? It's just more criminality, isn't it? You know, And what was crazy is, like, Biden spent quite a long time, I think. I mean, I don't follow U.S. politics that closely, but I believe he spent a few months saying he would never pardon his son, right? Yeah. So, I mean, go figure. Another politician just tells you a barefaced lie. It's constant now, you know. Like Tony says, it's quite unbelievable that people put up with this, right? It's so brazen, so nakedly corrupt, that it's quite astonishing that this is the pantomime that we call our political lives now, right? You know, there is definitely a rule for them and rules for everyone else, right? It's like comedian Carlin says, right? There's a big club and you're not in it. You know, the stuff that was on that laptop is astonishing, by the way. Like, apparently is 191 sex crimes, 128 drug crimes, 140 business crimes, and that was all compiled into a 630-page report. And he's just going to walk away from it completely scot-free. Meanwhile, you know, you got people like Ross Ulbricht, you know, locked up in jail, you know, indefinitely until hopefully Trump pardons him. You've got the Samurai Devs getting attacked by the Department of Justice. And if you live in the UK and you tweet something that the government don't like, well, then you're straight to jail, right? And I have to, you know, we all have to sit here now and watch Hunter Biden just walk away from this scot-free. And, you know, look, I try not to get into politics. I don't like either side, right? I don't like the red team. I don't like the blue team, because they're all the same. They're all on the same team, right? It is a different set of rules for the political class versus private citizens. And that's the thing that we really need to stop. You know, that's the whole point with Bitcoin, is that the main source of their power is the money printer, right? That's why they can continually get away with this stuff. It's also why they completely control and dominate our lives, right? Because if they dominate the money, then they get to determine, you know, pretty much everything about how you live your life. If we move to a Bitcoin standard, then they go back to asking us for permission. You understand? So, like, you know, we want to fund this new proposal. Well, you have to raise tax for that, which means you have to come and ask Bitcoiners, please, could you send me money? And if we disagree with what they're doing, or, you know, we see that they're blatant criminals and stuff, then guess what? We'll all stop funding them, won't we? So, you know, take the money printer away from them, and hopefully we'll get to the end of this sort of nonsense. Because until the money printer goes away, you have to just assume that politicians are going to continue to do this forever, right? So, we know what the solution is, and hopefully we can run there quite quickly, right?
I think that's a fair assessment. All righty. Up next, more from Clown World. France's legislature proposes a new tax on unproductive wealth. frequently citing Bitcoin as an example. It sounds like unrealized capital gains is kind of what they're shooting for. And yeah, this is, I mean, it is, you've obviously never operated in the marketplace to propose something like this. Like you don't understand that Elon Musk, worth $300 billion as an example, does not have $300 billion sitting in a bank account. And they're talking about, well, he needs to, I guess, sell some, you know, equivalent of what we want to tax from his companies. Like the complexity that goes into this is insane. And they tried this in Norway, I think, Tony, and all the billionaires just left. They said, okay, I'm not standing for this. I'm not having, you know, I'm not selling interests in my company. Yeah, it's wild. But Rick, why don't you take this one first? Give your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, the French, right? What are they up to these days? I mean, the truth is, right? Like the French, the British, the Germans, they're all broke. I mean, Germany had half a chance to not be broke, but they fumbled that, didn't they, and sold all their Bitcoin. So all that these people have left now is to just steal your stuff, right? Like you can dress it up any way you want. Oh, it's unrealized gains tax. And what were they calling it? Unproductive wealth or unproductive wealth. Something?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. The only thing that's unproductive are all the politicians in Europe, right? Completely unproductive, completely useless. You know, and man, I mean, how does this even work? How does this even work, right? Well, I also get to claim a rebate on my unrealized losses, right? Because then, you know, how does this game work? So if I buy Bitcoin today, say it's 100K, and then the US government does something crazy and sells their Bitcoin and it tanks the price to 50K, can French people go back to the authorities and say, oh man, I'm down on my money, so can you reimburse me on the loss? Because if it only works in one direction, it doesn't make any sense, does it? Because say you have one theft. Bitcoin, it's just taking your stuff. So you have one Bitcoin, and then it doubles in value as measured in their stupid shitcoin, which is the euro that they print out of the wazoo, right? So they print a load of euros, and then they say, "Oh well, we printed a load of euros, and they've lost value against the thing that you've got. So now you have to give us the thing that you've got," and you just. You know, it's maddening. It's so insane. And the annoying thing is the way they dress it up and the fact that most of the population just can't conceptualize that actually it is just simple theft, right? They get dazzled with all these words and these guys wear suits and they stand in front of lecterns and sound professional and serious. And I guess a lot of people can't pass that information and realize what it is they're actually saying to them, right? But yeah, France is crazy. You mentioned Norway. That's a great example, right, of them trying this sort of stuff and shooting themselves in the foot. Because all the people with any wealth just leave. And here's the crazy thing. With Bitcoin, that's easier than ever, right? So people who have the means and the capability and hold Bitcoin in self-custody, they're just going to leave. And there's an interesting economic concept that people might find interesting. It's called the Laffer curve, L-A-F-F-E-R. And this is an economist that came up with this sort of like, it's almost like a bell curve of the total amount of tax that a government can raise, right? And it starts at 0% and it goes all the way up to the maximum level that they could raise in taxation. But then as their policies get more and more punitive and they try and take more and more, the amount of tax they collect will actually ultimately go down because people will leave or they'll try and hide their wealth or they'll try and get around the rules. And that's exactly what you saw happen in Norway, right? So the French are crazy, right? It's not going to work out well for them. But you're seeing this everywhere in Europe now. So like the Netherlands, I think just a couple of weeks back, they came out and said they were doing, they're introducing like an exit tax or certainly thinking about it. Where if you leave the Netherlands, they still want to tax your income and your capital gains for like the next 5 years. So, you know, moving a bit more towards the American model, which is like you can leave, but you can never leave, right? So, yeah.
Hotel California, you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
That's it. So, you know, if you're a European man, look, stack all of this stuff next to each other. The Netherlands saying, even if you leave, we're still going to tax you. Then you've got France saying, Well, you know, we're going to tax you on imaginary gain. Well, not imaginary gains, but unrealized gains. And they are just trying to steal your money. You need to get out of the way of this, right? This is where things like a Plan B residency starts thinking, you know, you start thinking, hang on a minute, right? Because they're going to keep going. They're going to keep getting more and more broke, more and more desperate. And the only way they're going to square that circle is by stealing from private citizens. So you need to figure out ways to protect yourself, right?
Yeah. Tony, the man with a plan B, C, D, E, what do you think of all of this?
Well, this is going to end in civil riots and violence at some point if this keeps going on. There's just no way around it. I mean, these people are mentally ill, these fucking worthless parasites that think, you know, they have this God-given right to just steal, you know, and then no one's going to object to them. I mean, this is the delusion that these people live in. And why not? I mean, they've been doing it for so long without any resistance, and everything's been going according to plan until 2009, when this annoying thing, Bitcoin, was created and disrupted all their plans. At first, they laughed at it, then they mocked at it, then they decided to ban it or make it illegal, whatever other list of stupidities that they tried to throw at it. And now it's staring them in their faces, telling them, "I'm going to put you out of business permanently." And this is what's happening. So desperate. These are desperate people, broke, desperate people. They don't have a product to sell anymore. So what do they resort to? To theft. They're thieves. That's all they've ever been. Worthless, unproductive members of society put in place by a population that knows nothing about what these guys are doing. And sadly, to this day, for the most part, remain oblivious. Even as brazen as these people have become, if you ask the general population, yeah, they'll whine and complain, but they'll still go with the flow. But, you know, there's going to come a point where the smart people or those with the clue are going to leave, like they did with Norway on a one-way ticket. There's no coming back. And who's going to be who's going who like who's left to steal from? Those that have nothing already, right? So the more you're going to push these people, well, there's only one thing left for these people to do. They already have nothing. They're going to come after you. And this is where you have the revolts and the revolutions and the civil unrest and all that horror show that nobody wants to deal with. So yeah, if you don't want to, you know, live in that headache, you know, consider a plan B, C, D, E, F, as many as you want. It's full of options. And leave. So vote with your time and money, smart people. That's what they're doing, and that's what you should do as well.
Yeah, well, speaking of Clown World knows no boundaries in Europe. So it's not just France, but the European Central Bank, they've published a second report on the progress of the digital euro project that they started back in November of 2023. We don't even need to get into the press release. I mean, we all know what this is. So Tony, what do you think? I mean, do you think CBDCs are they coming in like on a near term horizon? And do you think they're going to be what we anticipate them being, basically a surveillance monetary technology?
Yeah, of course they're coming. It's their only lifeline, their only, you know, ace to play, so to speak. But who still listens to these people? I mean, you know, at this point, it's abundantly clear that these people, first of all, have no idea what they're doing. And they're just trying to rush this in a desperate attempt to sort of front run Bitcoin, which is not going to happen because Bitcoin is like the internet. You know, once it spreads, that's it. There's no going back. And when people realize that they can hold on to their wealth without having it confiscated, taxed, debased, and, you know, all this other fun stuff that goes on, you know, with the government money, well, they're going to opt out at some point. So they want to try to, you know, tax unrealized gains on Bitcoins. First of all, good luck doing that. It's not going to happen, in my opinion, anyhow. It's just almost impossible to do that. Then they want to introduce their shit coin, that digital worthless euro, that comes with, like, you know, a 100-page manual of how they're going to surveil and track you and make sure that you spend 90% of your hard-earned revenue in taxes to these crooks so that they can sit back and do absolutely nothing for society, you know, at your expense. This is what they want to do. And isn't the head of this ECB a convicted criminal herself? Like, how is someone like that even in a position like this to begin with? And how is Europe okay with this? You know, like, there's one thing to have someone like this, but it's what does it say when the people are okay with it?
Yeah.
It explains why someone like this is in here in the first place, right?
Yeah.
So ignore this at all costs. Opt out of this corrupt system. Adopt Bitcoin. Full self-custody, not with any third-party custodian, not with an exchange, not with the help of an institution. You don't need any of these people. You can learn how to do these steps yourself. It's not nuclear science. It's very easy. There's many resources online that can help you. We're certainly very good at doing this. And so the only way you can put this rubbish and this noise to the side is by opting yourself out of that system completely. And if you don't like the country that you're living in because they're a headache and, you know, they keep harassing you with all sorts of, you know, invented rules and regulation, pack your suitcase, get on a plane and go visit a different jurisdiction that doesn't have these headaches and problems. And believe me, there's plenty of them.
Yeah, you asked a good question. Who's still listening to these people? And I think probably the biggest victory of the elites in the last, I mean, it's probably gone on longer than I realized, but at least the last, 30 years is creating this atmosphere of tribalism where whatever Trump does, the Republicans are going to be behind him, or at least the conservative, pundits are going to be behind him. And whatever Biden does, look at the Hunter Biden story. Like some of the people who were like, they were literally saying, well, I think you need to reframe it. He didn't lie about not pardoning him. And it's like, that's precisely what he did. Like there's no other term to use, but he lied, and so the fact that they've been able to do this is the people who are listening are the people who voted for that party. Like those are the people, because like they're so tribalistic and they're so committed to this, like they think it doesn't matter which side. I don't even know who who you vote for or how these people at the ECB get appointed, across the continent or whatever. But because it's so tribalistic, people feel like they're personally being attacked if someone on their side is being criticized, and you just have to let that go. I voted for Trump. I support way more of his policy positions than I do Kamala Harris. But if Trump does something stupid, the fact that I voted for him is of no impact on my opinion on a poor decision that he makes, right? And I think people just have like completely lost sight of that. It's like, I'm team red, and so whatever Trump does is good, or I'm team blue, and so whatever Biden does is good. And so you're always going to have, 40 to 60% of the population who support almost anything as a knee-jerk reaction versus a thoughtful, consideration. So, Rick, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, man. I voted for Trump as well.
Six sorry, times.
It's just a little election fraud joke for you there. No. I mean, so just to go back to like the ECB and this this digital euro. I mean, the obvious questions I think most people should ask is like, what isn't digital about the euro right now? Right, most people don't use cash. Most, they don't carry cash around. In fact, I mean, the UK is on the pound rather than the euro, but like there's even businesses here that just don't accept cash anymore, right? Like it's cards only and all that. So, I think only about 3% of circulating money is cash, right? So 97% of the euro or more is probably digital anyway. So the question is, well, all right, so what are they really changing then? And I think probably more than anything, they're just going to make it more programmable, right? To give themselves a little bit more control over what you do. So, they don't like you moving around. We learned that in COVID, right? They'd very much like you to stay put and not travel. So why don't we say, okay, the new digital euro, you can spend up to 500 euros a year on travel. But as soon as you go over that, we will ban you from buying petrol or plane tickets or whatever. Or, I don't know, they also hate you eating meat and eggs, right? Because they want you to eat processed garbage, right? So maybe they'll say, oh, you've had too many eggs today, Rick. You can't buy any more eggs with your digital euro. And the list goes on. So I think people shouldn't underestimate the amount of control something like a digital euro or a central bank digital currency will bring. I mean, it's almost certain it will make you poorer faster, probably, than the current euro. Because, with this programmable money, they're going to be able to say, oh, actually, your money now has an expiry date. Yeah, we need to stimulate the economy, Rick. So you see all your savings account. I know you're saving for a house, Rick, but you're not allowed to own anything, right? So to give up on that dream, because half of the money in your savings account now is going to expire at the end of the month, because we need you to spend it on stuff you don't need so that we can keep this giant Ponzi scheme going. So yeah, I mean, it's just crazy, right? And anyone who buys into that is going to have a real, real bad time. The good news is, though, I think, is that I don't ever recall a time where I've seen a government successfully deliver an IT project. Right. So, you know, I think we have that on our side, because these people are so useless. It's like unbelievable. And I quickly skim read that press release. And what they're saying is like, and now we're going to go out for consultation. We're going to go out to tender to private companies. Right. And you're like, OK, right. So this is how it starts. They put a tender out. Who can help me build my shitcoin? Right. And then you're going to get like, I don't know even who's going to bid for that. Like, that, who is that Justin Sun guy who did Tron? Or maybe you get Garlinghouse start sniffing around, right? So to be honest, I think the whole thing is going to be hilarious, because they're going to work with like Hoskinson or one of these Muppets, right? And they're going to launch a shitcoin and it's going to go to zero really, really fast. So yeah, I mean, yeah, like hopefully they just continue trying to waste their time like this. I mean, the sad part of it is, sometimes you do think, like, how much are all the politicians being paid who are working on this stuff, and how much waste is involved in these stupid projects they get involved in? You know, and you walk down the street and you see homeless people, right? I live in Scotland. It's freezing cold. See people sitting on the street while there's idiots running around coming up with these consultations and planning digital euros, and the world's wonky, right? So yeah, what can you say apart from don't buy into that? Just get yourself some Bitcoin or suffer the consequences, because they're going to lock you in the country. They're going to put you on a CBDC. They're going to tax you if you make any money. They're going to tax you if you invest any money. They're not going to be satisfied until you're dead. So yeah, start pushing back, please.
Warm words. So Rick, I guess the upside for you is, at least where you are, if you buy too many eggs and they don't like that, you can get a government approved chicken to lay some eggs for you. So you've always got that to work with.
Yeah.
All righty, guys. I think that's a good place to wrap up. For everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. Go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We can help you with self-custody, Plan B, all of these things. We could have helped Hunter Biden protect his laptop, but he didn't know about us. Lots of ways we can assist. So thebitcoinway.com/podcast, schedule a free 30-minute consult with a member of the team. Gentlemen, thanks for the time today.
Thank you, Michael. Always a pleasure, man.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, man.